The following is paid commercial programming. Third-party rankings are no guarantee of future investment success. Working with a highly rated advisor does not ensure that a client or prospective client will experience a high level of performance. Investment performance is not an explicit criterion because clients' investment goals differ. These ratings should not be construed as an endorsement of the advisor by any client. Generally, rankings are based on information prepared and submitted by the advisor. Statements saying that we told our clients to be out of the market in 2008 referred to recommendations made by MMWKM's principals while employed at Eagle Strategies LLC. The team that manages accounts at MMWKM are the same individuals with that responsibility at Eagle Strategies and at Cambridge Research from 2009 to 2011. MMWKM was created in 2011 and uses the same exit strategy. A more thorough disclosure of the criteria used in making these rankings is available by contacting MMWKM Advisors LLC.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Money Matters. And here's your host, Ken Moray.
We're in the money. We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money.
We are in the money. The skies are sunny. And old man recession, you are through. You have done us wrong. Well, hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. And this is the show where we talk about everything and anything in the world of personal finances and retirement planning. And we try to have more fun than a human being should be allowed to have when talking about all of this boring financial stuff. And this week, we're going to have a great show lined up for you. And I can't wait to get started. But before we go one step further, let me introduce myself. I am Ken Morafe, the host of Money Matters with Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I have been a certified financial planner professional now for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. I am senior retirement planner at Retirement Planners of America, and we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning. So we work primarily with people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. And if that's you, this show is designed for you. And recently, in their infinite wisdom, Barron's named moi, your faithful host, one of the top 100 independent financial advisors for the seventh year in a row.
To hear you say that makes me love you, baby.
Well, I'm glad. It's nice to be loved. Thank you. So let me go over with you, ladies and gentlemen, what we are going to talk about on this, our weekly excursion into the land of personal finances. Now, first of all, I was interviewed last week by Karen Langley. She's a reporter at the Wall Street Journal. And she asked me a really interesting question that I thought would be a good answer to give on this show. So she said, okay, so Saudi just got drone attacked. We've got we've got Brexit, where it looks like it's falling apart or isn't. We're finding out now the central bank in Europe is having to do more negative interest rates because their economies are slowing down. We have all this stuff going on. We have the Federal Reserve and everything, and yet the markets seem to be relatively calm. You know, what's up with that? Why is the market so calm? And so I will endeavor to answer that. I'll give you the answer I gave her. How about that?
Oh, I'm so scared.
Yes, indeed. So see, now I tell you what's in the Wall Street Journal. You don't even have to go read it now. This week, I want to go over with you the five mistakes that mutual fund investors can make. Okay, and we don't want you to make any mistakes. In fact, we believe that the way you succeed is by not making mistakes. And we're going to go over all five of them. Now, a lot of other shows, Jack, as you know, they might give you, what, two, maybe three? No, we give you the full Monty, ladies and gentlemen. We give you five of them, all five, okay? And also this week, we're going to continue in our series of Social Security strategies, where we answer questions regarding Social Security. And of course, if you, ladies and gentlemen, would like to have your question read over the air, just email it to me at ken@rpoa.com, ken@rpoa.com. And in fact, that's our website also. It's retirementplannersofamerica.com. But you can email me at ken@rpoa.com, and you can send me your questions. And if they don't stump me, I'll try to answer them on the air. But if I don't know the answer, then I won't use them. If it's too hard, I don't want to embarrass myself on the radio. Why would I do that? Okay, next thing we'll talk about this week is, as you know, as I mentioned, we work primarily with people who are retired or retiring soon, and we believe that taking losses is one of the most dangerous things that someone who's retired can experience. And so what can cause you to experience losses? Well, bear markets is one of the biggest things that can do that to you. And so if you're invested in the market. So we want to address that. And I wrote a book called Buy, Hold, and Sell. Okay, and in case you're wondering. And in it, I describe the various myths that I think are associated with buy and hold, which is the notion that you buy a diversified portfolio of quality investments and you rebalance it, and then your job's done, and you go to somewhere and you sit in a hammock and you sip mint juleps, okay, and you're done. Well, that's not the case. And so buy hold myth number one, in my view, is the market always comes back, so you don't have to worry about it. Just close your eyes, don't think about it, and it'll all take care of itself, and everything will be fine. So just buy and hold forever. And I'm going to debunk that one for you because I think that is one of the most dangerous myths of all of them. And it's been sold to a lot of people that I've seen. So I want you not to fall for that one if I can help it. Now, you know what, Jack? Most shows would stop right there. Most shows would say, you know what? If we did just that, we've done more than our listening audience could possibly want from a financial show. Wow, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, that is a soundbite from my first day on the job. When I first started as a financial advisor, I showed up in a loincloth, and I did that yell, and they summarily sent me home. They were like, no, that's not appropriate attire for financial advising.
Sorry about this. I know it's a bit silly.
It's very silly, Hal. But anyway, at about 10 till, we will have our estate tip of the week. That's the time of the show where we talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. And that's called estate planning. But this week, we're going to not talk about all that stuff. We're going to talk about the four important estate planning documents that you should consider. Okay, and I think everybody listening to this probably should consider these. Okay, so I encourage you to do that. So we have all kinds of great stuff to talk about. But before we go into that, I want to just give you an update. I'm on a tennis team. And the tennis team we're in a USTA league. And it's actually quite funny, in my opinion, the name of the league that we're in. We're in the 4.5 plus. Okay, so that's a skill level. So how good you are determines what you are. So we're the 4.5 plus. But the funny part of it is it's men over 50 adult league. See, now I'm glad they put the word adult in there because if they didn't, you know, we might have some kids that are men over 40 in the league. So it's the men over 40 adult league. Okay, it's an adult league. Anyway, redundancy makes me laugh. That's all. I find humor in small things. But anyway, the team that I'm on, we actually won our section over the last weekend. And boy, we played in Houston, and it was 99 degrees and 49% humidity. It was a steamer. It was hot. I thought I was going to die on the court. I literally was like envisioning I'm going to die. But I thought, you know what? If I die on a tennis court, I'm a happy guy. I'm doing something I love, and I'm fighting for a victory, and I'm going to – if that's what it is, that's what it is. But anyway, as a team, we won the whole tournament, and so we're off to Nationals in Boca Raton the weekend at the end of October. Yeah, and I got to give props to everybody on the team. I mean – I didn't have my best performance, but I can say that almost everybody else on the team did. They rose to the occasion in the finals. Everybody played fantastically well. It was awesome. It was just great. Anyway, so let's talk about our Wall Street Journal interview from Karen Langley. And so she was asking me some questions. And one of the questions she asked was, you know, with everything that's going on, why is the market so calm? What's up with that? And I said, well, the answer is, and you know, she's like, okay, we got China, right? And the trade war with China, the tariffs and all of that, and the market's calm. We have the Saudi Arabia drone attacks. Oil prices spiked, the biggest spike in history. And what happens? The market's calm. We have Brexit falling apart, and the guy over there is being told by Parliament that you're unconstitutional, or their version of it, and all that's happening. Market's calm. The European Central Bank comes out and says, we're going more negative on our interest rates than we were before. And everybody's like, you know, the market's calm. So what the heck? Why is that? And my answer was, keep your eye on the Fed. Okay? That's where, in our view, it all starts and ends. The Federal Reserve, as long as they are accommodative, as long as they are willing, you know, and I think that it's a risky proposition to assume that the Federal Reserve can solve everything. But so far, they've done a good job. If you go back to 2008, you look at 2010, 11, 15, and last year, the Federal Reserve stepped in all of those cases, market rebounded quickly, the S&P. And so therefore, there's this belief system that as long as the Fed is engaged, everything's fine. They'll take care of everything for us. They're the savior. So I told her, keep your eye on the Fed. That's if you want to know what's going to happen, see what they do. And I told her, you know, that this was before the Fed said they were going to cut their rates. I said they're going to cut their rates tomorrow because the fact is that when the bond market tells them to do something, they do it. And I've told you this on this show as well. They follow orders. The Federal Reserve does lead occasionally, but most of the time they follow. But anyway, the point is keep your eye on the Fed. And last week they did lower the rates as we expected, but the language that they gave was, hey, don't expect this to go on forever. You know, this is could be one and done. Well, they said that the last time, and it wasn't. So the market took it, and a relatively benign response. It was initial knee-jerk reaction to it, but overall, it's all about the Fed. So since the Fed is engaged, and they said that, you know, they'll do whatever it takes, we believe that there will be a recession, but the recession won't be for another year. And therefore, during that year, we see the markets, the S&P 500 index being very volatile, but at the same time, a rising trend. So if you are retired or retiring soon, what does that mean to you? Well, right now, what we would say is that whatever your risk profile dictates, you should be fully invested given that. So if your profile says you should be 60% in stocks or 40% in stocks or whatever it should be, then we think you should be fully invested right now. Take advantage of this. This is a rising tide. However, you may not know what your risk profile is. You may not know if you have the ability to invest in that. Maybe you should have more money in your emergency fund. All kinds of questions that you may have. If you go to our website, it's rpoa.com. Okay, I'm sorry, it's retirementplannersofamerica.com. Retirementplannersofamerica.com is the website. And if you go to our website, on there you'll find we have podcasts of the show that you can listen to again. We have articles, we have videos, all kinds of information. You can sign up to visit with one of our retirement planners to help you to build your retirement plan. You can sign up for one of our seminars. There's lots of resources and things that you can do. So if you go to our website, it's retirementplannersofamerica.com. All right, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the five mistakes that mutual fund investors could make. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I am a senior retirement planner at Retirement Planners of America, and I have been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And since we specialize in retirement planning, our clients are primarily people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. And if that's you, then we would love to meet you and see if there's a fit there. Our website is you can email me at ken@rpoa.com, but our website is retirementplannersofamerica.com. All right. And you can also, one of the things that we're very, very proud of is that in 2015, Forbes named our financial advisory firm one of the top 100 wealth managers. And, you know, without our clients, we'd be nowhere. So we give that to our clients. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to talk now about five mistakes that mutual fund investors could make. All right, so we're going to go through those with you. And, you know, most shows, they have they'd probably give you like one or two mistakes, you know, those other shows. But on this show, we give you all five. We don't scrimp on our content. We go right all through the full Monty. So let's start off with the first mistake, which is ignoring risk. And what I mean by that is that there are a lot of mutual funds that have made very good returns. But you have to understand that if they made those very good returns, the reason may be that they have taken a lot of risk to do that. So be careful when you're looking at returns and the list of the 5 or 10 best performing whatevers, that you're not taking on a lot of risk because you're trying to get those returns and you don't realize it. So the second mistake is chasing returns. Okay, and one of the things about the reporting and everything else that I've seen when it comes to mutual funds is, you know, they get a star rating, or they get the top 5 performers, or then the top 10% of all this and that, and it's all about returns. And of course, you want to invest in something that's going to get you a nice return, so that makes sense. But you have to be careful, because studies have shown, Morningstar, for example, did a study where they showed that of the top performers, 50% of those will be the bottom performers the next year. Okay, so you have to be careful. Just because they were the top performer the 1 year, it gives a small percentage. There's a 50% chance that they might be a low performer the next year. So chasing returns is not what you should be looking at. You want well performing funds. But buying them just because of their returns is not the answer. You should be buying them because they fit within your plan, if you're going to do that. They fit within the diversification profile that you're looking to achieve, okay? So you should have other criteria besides returns. It shouldn't be your top one. Now, number three, in my opinion, number three, ignoring fund size, okay? So here's the issue. Let's say, and it happens to a lot of money managers that you may have noticed, where they close their fund. And the reason why they close it is because, let's say you have a fund that invests in small companies. Well, there's only so many small companies to invest in. And let's say you've made your list and there's 10 of them that you want to invest in. And so those are your 10 core ones. And you have success with that. And suddenly, you know, $100 billion gets invested into your fund, and you're like sitting there with $100 billion. You got to get that invested. But now, you know, putting it all into those 10 stocks is difficult. So what you're going to do, you're going to be forced to do, is to buy more and expand it to 20 to be able to invest all that money. So suddenly what's happened is the size of the fund caused the manager to not have the same core stocks or whatever inside the portfolio, and that can affect returns. So always be looking at the size of the fund that you're investing in. Next is not noticing what's called style drift. So style drift is, let's say that you've decided that you're going to put your money into stocks and you want to have half of it in growth stocks and half of it in value stocks. Okay, so you got a 50-50, that's what you've decided to do. And your growth manager decides that, you know what, next year I think value stocks are going to perform better than growth stocks. So the manager then starts selling their growth stocks and starts buying value stocks instead. Well, now what you could end up with is two value stock funds when really you wanted to have one of each. So that's called style drift, where their style, what they're supposed to be investing in, drifts. And it does happen, you know, and sometimes funds that say they're a growth fund end up not being that. So be careful of that. Now, number five is also very important, and that is knowing who the fund manager is. And, you know, if you think of sports teams, you know, and I guess I'll give away my age here, but if you think of John Wooden, for example, he was the coach of the UCLA Bruins, and he took the UCLA Bruins college basketball team. They won something like 88 games in a row. They were national champions almost, you know, the last 10 years of his career as a coach. They were a dominant winning team. And there were no players that played for that entire period. The coach was the common denominator in all of those. And, you know, you look at, and I'm not a big Patriots fan, so don't mistake, but if you look at Belichick, okay, there are very few players that have played during the entire career that Belichick's been there. But yet, consistently, they win Super Bowls and they've got a big winning record and all those kind of things. So you got to give credit to the coach and the system that they've put in place for that, in my opinion. Now, the same thing, therefore, we view as a criteria for selecting a mutual fund. Okay, you want to know who that manager is, because the returns that fund has made, if that manager got wooed away by a different fund company and left, then I don't know that you could expect the new manager to have the same returns and the same results that the previous successful one did. So know who the manager in your fund is as well, so that you can be assured that, or at least have some confidence that there will be continuity and that the returns might still be the next time. All right.
I'm glad we had this talk.
Well, I am too. So those are five things for you to think about. in terms of picking a your mutual fund and not making those mistakes. How about that? Now, as I mentioned, our firm is Retirement Planners of America, and you can find us. Our website is retirementplannersofamerica.com. And when you're there, you have a lot of options. We have we've tried to put a lot of resources on there for those of you who are thinking about retirement, or those of you who are. You know, for example, coming up here very soon is going to be Medicare enrollment. So we're going to be posting a webinar on that here in the next few days. We've also got articles on Social Security, when and how to take it. We've got videos for you. We've got podcasts. So if you like to listen to stuff, we've got that for you. If you like to watch it, we got that. If you like to read, we got that too. We got all kinds of stuff for you. And you can also click to meet with one of our retirement planners, and we'll sit down with you at no charge or obligation. So there's lots of stuff available to you there. So if you're over 50, if you're retired or retiring soon, go to retirementplannersofamerica.com, okay, RPOA.com. All right, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Social Security strategies and in our ongoing series of helping you to come up with ideas on how to do that. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters. And I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I have been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients.
We must come to an understanding about who rules this kingdom.
Okay. I don't know where that drop came from, but okay, whatever you say. And because we, as our name implies, if I may continue my train of thought, we work primarily with people who are retired or retiring soon, and we would love to meet you and see if we can help you. Our website is rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com, and this show is all about that as well. And Financial Times named our financial advisory firm one of the top 300 registered investment advisors, actually for the third time in 2019. So that was very exciting for us. But without our clients, we'd be nowhere. We know that. So all you clients listening, thank you, thank you. And even those who aren't, we appreciate our clients so much. And this segment, we're going to talk about Social Security, because that is probably the most talked about topic that we have with clients. I would say that at some point or another, that thing comes up with just about every client. So we're talking this week. And by the way, if you want to send me your questions regarding Social Security and those kind of things, my email address is ken@rpoa.com. So if you send me an email and I can answer your question, I will do it on the air. And if I can't, I won't. Okay. Because I don't want to embarrass myself on the air in front of all that. So, okay, so let's talk about first question here. How does remarriage affect the survivor benefit? Okay, it is my understanding that if you remarry, you can only get benefits off your current spouse's work record. But I'm reading now that there's not all, that that's not always true for survivor benefits. Okay, so I think you're confused. You're thinking of divorced spouse benefits, okay? Remarriage always cancels divorced spouse's benefits, okay? So for survivors, it's different. If you are widowed and you remarry before the age of 60, then you will be no longer eligible for survivor benefits on your spouse's record, okay? If your remarriage ends, you're once again eligible for the survivor benefit. If you remarry after the age of 60, you remain eligible for survivor benefits altogether. Okay? So I hope that clarified it. This one, this next one, man, there's a lot to unwrap on this one. I may not be able to answer all the questions in this one. So this is, I am a widow who is 65 years old. My husband died 10 years ago. We were married for 25 years. I have not been remarried, and I am now retired. However, my deceased husband also had a previous marriage that lasted 10 years before me. So her question is, if the first wife elected to receive widow benefits, will I still be able to get my widow benefit? And the answer is yes. You can get survivor benefits even if the previous wife is also receiving one. Okay. So the second question she has is, I am eligible for a widow benefit, but will I be subject to the earnings test reduction before my age 66, even though I am retired? And the answer to that question is, you are fully retired, and if you have no earnings, there would be no reduction, but if you are, then there would be. Okay, so the earnings test does apply. And then lastly, her third question on here is, my benefit is $2,280. I expect my deceased husband's to be around $1,300, and I would like to defer my benefit until I'm age 70. So can I do that? So yeah, so what you should do, and you know, details are important here, so don't do this, talk to somebody first. But in this situation, it sounds like what should do, you should start your survivor benefit as soon as you retire, and then, so it won't be subject to the earnings test that I was talking about. And then when you turn 70, switch to your personal age 70. Okay, so that's the answer to those questions. A lot to unwrap in that package. But now, it illustrates that Social Security is extremely complicated, and it's something that you should not do at home alone. What I would recommend to you is that you talk to a retirement planner who has been trained in the subject of Social Security, and our retirement planners have been so trained. They are all subject to a six-week program that we put them through. They have to take a big final exam, and then once they're past that, then they are able, we think, to answer questions and work with people. So if you'd like to go to our website, it's rpoa.com. On there, we have lots of information for you on Social Security that you can see, videos, podcasts, and all that. And also while you're there, if you'd like, you can click on the link that says Meet with an Advisor. And what we can do is sit down and visit with you if it's appropriate. Now, keep in mind, we don't want to talk with you only about Social Security, okay? Because we are retirement planners, not Social Security planners. Social Security is a very important part of your retirement plan, but so is your 401k, so is how you're diversified, so is your income taxes, so is your estate planning, so is you know, where you're going to get income from, so is protecting from bear markets. All those kind of things are also very, very important, and we want to give you a big picture plan. We want to do it at no charge or obligation, and if we can help you, great, and if not, we'll part friends. There's no charge or obligation either way. So if you go to our website, rpoa.com, you can take advantage of all those opportunities, and RPOA stands for Retirement Planners of America. All right, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the buy hold myth, which is, hey, the market always comes back, so don't worry about it. Yeah, right. We'll debunk that one for you when we come back. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I have been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And we are a firm that we specialize in retirement planning. We're Retirement Planners of America, as the name implies. And I have been working with people. I just love, you know, the people that we love, that we want to work with, are within 5 years of retirement, or they're 5 years into retirement. Now, of course, we'll work with people who are beyond that, but that 10-year period is kind of our sweet spot. And the reason why I say that is because that is the time, we believe, is the most important decade of your entire financial life. Because no matter how well you did getting to your retirement, if you take a massive, big loss in a bear market, or you make a big, you make a big mistake with a bad financial decision, and it costs you a lot of money and all that, then your ability to retire, regardless of how well you did to get to that point, could be severely impaired. If you're already retired, it could unretire you and cause you to have to go back to work. And if you've been out of the workforce for a while, you may not be able to do that. So all kinds of terrible things come from losing a large sum of money in a rapid period, in a small time period, in our view. So therefore, as I said, we work with people that are retired or retiring soon. So our philosophy is we need to defend against things that could cause you that kind of financial harm. And, you know, for our clients, we have two goals. The first one is that we want you to have financial peace of mind. We want you to not worry about all this stuff. You know, we always say that your retirement is your second childhood without parental supervision. We want you to go play and have fun. Just go to the beach, go climb a mountain, you know, go on a cruise, see your grandchildren. Just get out of here. And, you know, we want to facilitate that if we can. And then also what we want to do is we want to have your money last as long as you do. Okay, so we want to support the lifestyle that you have for as long as you live. So to do that, we believe that you need to have a plan in place to address bear markets, which we consider to be one of the three top threats to your financial well-being, taxes and inflation being the other two. And so we have a strategy in our firm that we call buy, hold, and protect. Okay, meaning that we don't stop at just buy and hold. We also continue with the next step, which is the protect part. And so we believe in protecting our clients from bear markets. And so we have a strategy that, in fact, in November of 2007, told us to tell our clients to sell and get out. And those that followed our advice were out of all equities from November of 2007 until June of 2009. So for almost a year and a half there, during the credit crisis and the crash of 2008 and all that, they were sitting on the sidelines. And if they did that, then they didn't incur those losses that could have happened. So that's a very important component. Now, our strategy is not perfect. As those of you who listen to this show, you know that our strategy said to sell in 2018, last year, towards the end. But you know what? We were facing a lot of risk back then. There was a lot of risk, and the market went down savagely. You probably forgot about it at this point because that's a while ago, but yeah, it did. And so we saw danger, and we said, you know what? We need to protect our clients from danger, and that's why we did that. That's what we do. We do what we do. And so that's kind of contrary to the whole notion of buy and hold, which is, hey, you buy a basket of quality investments, and you rebalance them periodically, and then you're done. And the buy-hold myth that I want to address this week is that, and the reason why you do that is because the market has always come back. The market always comes back, and you don't need to worry about it, okay? And that's the idea behind it. It'll come back, so just kind of close your eyes and ignore it. Well, there are lots of problems with that. First of all, if the value of your accounts has fallen dramatically and you're taking out the same amount of money that you were before, you have now taken out a much larger percentage of your money while you're doing that. And in fact, you may take all of your money out while you're doing that and run out. That in fact, you're doing what farmers call eating your seed corn. And if you do that, then when planting season comes, you may have eaten all your seed corn already and there's nothing left to plant, and that would be a bad thing. Now, the other thing that is wrong, in my opinion, with this whole notion that the market always comes back is, where's the contract that says that that's going to happen? Where's the guarantee that this is going to, in fact, happen? And am I willing to bet my security and my retirement on that guarantee? There is no guarantee. No one, in fact, everywhere you go, they tell you past performance is no guarantee of the future and all that, because it isn't. There's no such thing. Now, let's examine the market always comes back. Now, if we look at the Nikkei, for those of you who've been around for a while, that's the Japanese 220, that's their version of the Dow. So the Nikkei, back in 1989, and you may remember if you're of a certain age, how they were buying up all of our golf courses and Japan was the preeminent economy and we were jealous and thinking, man, they're going to take over everything. And their stock market hit a peak in 1989, towards the end of 89 and into 90. Today, you know where it is? It's down 40% from that peak. That was 1990. So that's 29 years ago. And it's still down 40% from that peak. It may never recover. But you're saying, Ken, please. That's Japan. That's not us. That's not America. We are, you know, we find ways to solve things. We are number one. We are the United States of America. That doesn't happen to us. We will not have that happen. Well, I got news for you. The Dow Jones peaked in 1929. Guess how many years it took back after the stock market crash of 1929 to get back to even? 1954 is when it got back to even. It took 25 years. So let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, if the stock markets, your equity investments crashed and went down like that, and it took 25 years to get back to even, how old are you right now? How old would you be when you get back?
We have a problem.
How old would you be when you get back to even? And that assumes that you're not living on the money. You're not eating your seed corn. If you're living on it while that all is happening, when would you get back to even? I suspect it may not happen. So that's why the risk of this buy-hold strategy is so great for someone who's retired or retiring soon. We just don't buy that. It's just not, we don't believe it's a good strategy. You need to have, in our view, an additional strategy, which is to protect what you've built. And if you have that, we believe it would go for a long way towards giving you our first goal, which is for you to have peace of mind. So if this resonates with you, if you think it makes any sense at all, I encourage you to go to our website. We are Retirement Planners of America, and our website is rpoa.com. And when you go there, we have videos and articles about our strategy, about our services, about what we can do to help you. And we're not here to make you rich quick. We're here to keep you from becoming poor. That's our goal. We want to be able to support your lifestyle and facilitate that for you. So if you go to our website, you have options of attending our seminars. You can watch our webinars. You can meet with one of our retirement planners and have them build a plan for you at no charge or obligation. We have lots and lots of resources available to you that I really would be happy if you took advantage of, okay? No charge or obligation for any of them. So our website, again, is rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have our estate tip of the week, which is on how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. I have been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning. So our clients are primarily people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. And if that is you, then we would love to meet you. We'd love to see if there's a fit where we can help you. And as I always say, you know, we're not here to make you rich quick. We're here to keep you from becoming poor. And so in that vein, we have two goals for our clients. And one is that we want your money to last as long as you do, not become poor. And we also want you to have financial peace of mind. And if we can accomplish that, we are very, very happy. And in fact, Barron's named moi, your faithful host, one of the top 100 independent financial advisors. Actually, now it's the seventh consecutive year they've done so.
Shazam!
It is a shazam, Gomer. I must agree. So this is the part of the show where we talk about estate planning. Normally, we talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. But this week, we're actually going to talk about not necessarily the transfer of asset, but the management of your stuff. And there are four important documents that I think everybody listening to this show may want to consider having. So let's start with the first one, and that is the power of attorney for healthcare. So what that means is that if you need a medical procedure done on you and you do not have the capacity to make that decision for yourself, you give that responsibility to somebody else. And Jack, my producer extraordinaire here for the last, 15 years or so, he said, so if somebody needs to amputate my leg, I'm deciding who's going to do that. I guess you could say that. It's kind of an extreme example, I have to say, but yes, you're right. That would fit under the power of attorney for healthcare. Okay, well, here's an even more extreme one if you want to go there. This one is the physician's directive. Okay, this is the second one. And the physician's directive is actually commonly known as the pull the plug document. Okay, this is where you say the two physicians, independent of each other, both agree that you're terminal. You don't want any heroic measures to be taken to keep you going. Just pull the plug. That's the physician's directive. The next one is the guardianship document. That's number three. So if you remember, if you had children, when you were trying to decide if something happened to you, who would take care of the kids, right? Who'd take them to school, who would bathe them, who'd feed them and do all that? Well, if you become incapacitated, somebody has to do all that for you. And the guardianship document addresses who makes those decisions. And then the fourth document is the durable power of attorney, which is basically the power of attorney for the person that's going to make the financial decisions. So this person will have the right to write checks, to manage your investments, to make financial decisions on your behalf if you can't make those decisions. Now, in most cases, you know, the same people end up sitting in all these seats, you know, so you have your son or your spouse and you name them to do the whole thing. But I've seen certain situations where the healthcare decision is made by one person, but the financial decisions are made by a different person. You know, I don't know if you remember the Seinfeld episode where Kramer gave his physician's directive to, was it George? And then he got all worried that George was going to have him killed or and he wanted to take it back. So, you know, you got to be careful who you choose to do all these things, right? So anyway, so those are the four documents that we feel you should be looking at in terms of your estate planning for incapacity. All right. So as I mentioned, we are Retirement Planners of America. And so we specialize in working with people that are over 50 who are retired or retiring soon. And if that's you, we would love to meet you. We'd love for you to attend our seminars. We have seminars near you right now that if you go to our website, it's rpoa.com. You can find a seminar near you. We have them ready for you. And at the seminars, we have our now world famous oatmeal raisin and chocolate chunk cookies. So bring an appetite. These cookies are 1 inch thick. They're 6 inches in diameter. And I know this for a fact because a gentleman who is an engineer heard me say it and he took calipers to the seminar. I'm not kidding you. And he held the calipers against the cookies. And then he sent me a picture of the whole thing. And he said, aha, truth in advertising. They actually are an inch thick and they actually are 6 inches in diameter. So we've had them measured by an engineer. There you go. They're officially approved. And as I said, they're a meal in and of themselves. We make them with those plump, juicy yellow raisins. We put cinnamon in the batter. Oh, man, I could use one right now. Those are such great cookies. Or if you're a chocoholic like me, you can go for the chocolate chunk. And I said chunk because chips are made with wax. They're formed in paraffin. You don't want to eat that. You want real chocolate that forms its own shape and gets all over you. You got chocolate all over your face, and you're loving it, and you're learning about your finances, and you can find that at our seminar. So go to our website, rpoa.com, which is Retirement Planners of America. And while you're there, you have lots of resources to learn and educate yourself on retirement planning, ideas on when you should take Social Security, how you should do it, ideas on diversification, on income taxes. We try to put a lot of information on there that can help you to be an educated person when it comes to your retirement planning. And we have resources to help you to achieve your goals as well. So rpoa.com is our website. Well, you know what? This show is over already. I cannot believe how fast it has gone. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have enjoyed doing it for you. We'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
Is this the end?
Of course not. It's all in the beginning.
Information presented should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any of the securities mentioned. None of this show's content should be viewed as personalized investment advice. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the strategies presented. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and therefore can be no assurance that any specific investment or strategy will be suitable or profitable for a client's portfolio. The tax and estate planning information offered on this program is general in nature. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Sound effects or anecdotes should not be construed as an endorsement of Ken Morafe or MMWKM Advisors LLC. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean that the advisor has attained a particular level of skill or ability.